today. It is a beautiful day. I love the month of October. Just the fall weather in the month of October here in North Alabama is, I don't think you could beat it anywhere in the world. And I just so glad to see all of you. We've got a good crowd here today. We have a lot of folks that are tuning in at home and in other parts of the country and in the world. And we appreciate you tuning in and worshiping with us here at Tanner. Open your Bibles to Romans 13. Romans 13. We'll start there with our reading today. We're going to be reading a little bit of scripture here and there. Someone remarked as I came in, I'm wearing my tennis shoes. My right foot is swollen pretty badly. I can't even get my dress shoes on. I'm going back to the heart doctor on Wednesday and get checked out. But they told me, they said, you got that Jerry Seinfeld look going. Well, you know, I mean, they don't match exactly, I know. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? I didn't think y'all wanted me barefooted up here. Anyway, yeah, some of you said no. All right, well, let's go to Romans 13. Beginning in verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We must be subject to the ruling authorities, not only because of fear of punishment or wrath, but also because of conscience, because it's the right thing to do. That's what he says. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, Paul writes these words, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. I have lost my place. That we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The purpose for government is so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Faye and I were talking this morning about this sermon. And I remember in so many of Southeast Asia, I remember specifically the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia. What they did to their own people was horrible. You couldn't, you go to bed at night, you didn't know if they were going to come in and take you away and execute you in the jungle. You didn't know. You just didn't know. There was no peace. There was no safety among those people. That is not the role of government. That is not the way government is intended or designed. God intended government so that there could be order and not anarchy. So that there could be peace and quiet living, peaceable living. That's God's plan for man. That's God's desire. There are abnormalities, there are injustices, there are evils in this world, but that is not the way God intended government to be. Now, not only then, based on what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, not only are we to cry out to God on behalf of our rulers, but we are to give thanks for them. Because of this thanksgiving, we are recognizing that God is behind authority. He is the one behind it, as we just read in Romans 13. So my question is, are we thankful for that we have this form of government that's been instituted by God? Are we thankful that we have this rather than having anarchy and oppression like so many in the world today? Paul said simply in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 25, "Brethren, pray for us." And that is the title of my lesson this morning. Pray for us. We all need prayer, and we all need to pray. As a nation, we are in trouble. As a people, we are in trouble right now. This is a time of crisis. We're in a health crisis, the ongoing sickness that plagues our land. We are in a moral crisis. Good is ridiculed, and evil is glorified in every kind of way. We are in a political crisis. Who can we trust to lead our country? That's the struggle. We're in a social crisis. Violence, crime, cries of racism and victimization fill our daily newscasts. We are in a time of crisis. America is at a crossroads, and we dare not be indifferent or careless about it. We must stand for what is right, oppose what is evil, cast our vote, help our neighbor, but above all else, we must pray. Everywhere we look, people are fighting. Have you noticed that? Everywhere we look, riots, protests, campaign ads, accusations. Where's the peace? Where is peace? People are fighting over the Supreme Court. They're fighting over political power. People are fighting over perceived injustice. Why is all this happening, brethren? I'll tell you, it's simple. Because of sin. Because of sin. Your sin. My sin. Our nation's sin. That's why this is happening. I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. This is a prayer that Daniel prayed. Daniel was among the earliest of the people taken in captivity. When they came and took captive the children of Israel, I believe it was Zedekiah was the last king of Israel, or Judah, actually, Judah. When they took Judah into Babylonian captivity, Daniel was among one of the first to go. They took the royalty, they took the princes of the people, they took the highest educated, the highly placed, the wealthy. They took the best of the people of Israel, or Judah actually, I'm sorry, I keep saying Israel. They took the best of them back to captivity. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among this group that went back. But Daniel was one of the princes of Israel, and he was taken back into captivity. This is early on in the captivity, okay? And so Daniel offers this prayer in Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So I came to know this, that this is going to last 70 years. That's pretty plain. And so here's what he prayed. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. Now listen carefully as he continues. Verse 8. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy law. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake unto us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Verse 17. Now, therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness. Our righteousness is but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken, and do defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This is a heartfelt and heart-wrenching prayer that Daniel prays to God. And he says many, many things that would apply specifically to the people of Judah. But you can see America in much of what he prayed. You can see the sin in our land in the same way he could see the sin in his land. And people have turned away from the living God. People have rejected God and rejected God's law. They are ignoring God's commandments and are criticizing and ridiculing those who believe in God. This is happening across our land, and it is happening more and more frequently. Brethren, to sum it up, and I'm not going to break down an expository message of this prayer, I want you to read this prayer and digest this thing on your own. Daniel chapter 9. Do this yourself. But what I want you to see this morning is that America has sinned. And Tanner, we at Tanner have sinned. and I have sinned. We all need to repent and pray. We need to continually pray to God for His mercy and His forgiveness. We need to pray for our brethren that are sick, those that are shut in. We need to pray for them by name. There are so many. We have a good list in the bulletin. This can be your daily prayer list. Take that bulletin and pray for these good people by name who are desperately in need of our prayers. We need to do that, brethren. Pray for one another. Pray for those that are erring, those that have drifted away from God, from our fold, that no longer are interested in serving the Lord. Pray for them. Brethren, we need to pray for this church as a whole, that we would be faithful in resisting sin and doing what's right. We need to pray that we can gather together freely and as a whole congregation very soon. All of us miss the fellowship. We miss the regular assemblies and the classes. We miss the singings and the love feasts that we've enjoyed back here in the back so many times. We miss the homecomings and the special meetings, the festive gatherings in members' homes for cookouts and parties. We miss freely visiting with one another. Pray that all this will go away soon and that we can get back to doing things together. We miss going to the jail. I was talking with Eckerd just before services. He ran into one of the guys that we go to jail with, and you know, just talking about how we really need to get back in there, but who knows when that will be. We miss doing these things, being evangelistic, inviting our friends to services with safety, inviting our friends to services knowing that there's not going to be a problem if we fill up the building. We miss that, brethren. We need to pray for this church, that we can continue to be faithful to the Lord and even grow more and more faithful to Him. We need to pray for the lost. Billions are not ready to meet God, brethren. Billions do not have access to the blood of Jesus or to the grace of God. They need God's power for salvation. They need the gospel. So we need to be praying for them. You know, one of the beautiful things about America, one of the things that I just cherish about this country, this is the launching point for mission work throughout the world. Much like Rome was a catalyst for the spread of Christianity in the first century, Rome was a catalyst because of the things that were done. Rome had control. They had the roads. They had the postal system. They had safety for people to travel here and there. Rome was an incredible place, and what they did oppressed a lot of people, but they brought stability to a world that had formerly known chaos. And this was in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. While Rome was at the peak of its power, God sent forth His Son. Well, America obviously is not like Rome in that we rule the world, but America is a catalyst for the spread of the gospel. We have never been more prosperous as a church than what we are in this country at this time. The Lord's church has more money, more property, more incredible church buildings, more opportunity than ever before in the history of the Lord's church. And it's a big part of that is because we are here in America at this time. God has blessed America and directly blessed His church with the means by which we can help carry the gospel to the world. We can make a difference. And so we need to pray for the lost and use the opportunities that God has given us. We have to do our part as God's people. We must send and we must go, and above all, we must pray. And finally this morning, we need to pray for our nation. We need the freedom and stability we've enjoyed for so long. We need our nation to continue to be a conduit for the church to reach the world with the gospel. We need leaders who fear God and want to do what's right, not what is politically correct or popular. Killing babies is popular, but it's wrong. Homosexuality is politically correct, but it is an abomination before God and in the face of nature itself. Violence against others is wrong, even though some try to justify it on the basis of racism or social justice, but it is wrong. This is not a matter of political party or personal liberty, brethren. It is a matter of right and wrong, a matter of insulting God or serving God. We need to pray that America will repent. God sent Jonah, who preached judgment against Nineveh. But the people of Nineveh repented. They proclaimed a fast. They humbled themselves before God, and God held back the judgment that Nineveh had coming to it because of its sin. And yet God was merciful. In Jonah 3, verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Brethren, we know our God. We know that our God would much rather show mercy than to execute judgment and pour out his wrath. We know that our God wants to forgive man. And so we have to let man know about the love of God and yet the impending doom that comes on those who reject him and will not serve him. Brethren, it's not too late for America. It wasn't too late for Nineveh, and it's not too late for America. In Jeremiah chapter 18, I found this passage this week in prepping for this sermon. I've read this thing many times, but I never made this connection until I read it for this week. In Jeremiah 18, verse 7 through 10, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up or pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turn from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I had thought to bring upon it. Did you hear that? If that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Do you understand what he's saying there? God will bless those that serve him, and he will withhold his blessings from those who will not. And if God's plan is to build up a nation, but that nation turns from God and does that which is evil in the sight of God, God says, I will withhold the good that I intended to do. And if that nation, if I plan to destroy a nation, to bring it down, but they repent and turn from their sin and do my commandments, do my will, then I will relent from the harm that I intended to bring to that nation. That is an interesting promise, and it's an indication that it's not too late for our great land. It is not too late for our nation. But as individuals and as a nation, we must repent and turn back to God before it's too late. What would happen if every Christian understood the value and the power of prayer, and then took seriously the need to pray? What would happen if everyone in this room spent time every day praying for one another? What would happen if everyone in this room took time every day to pray for our nation, to pray for the lost? What would happen in our lives? Well, we would see a change take place in us, but we would also see God in reacting in response to our prayers. If we would take this seriously, what would happen if faithful Christians prayed for our country like we ought to? Pray for righteous leaders for our country. and then be willing to do everything we can to elect leaders that will most willingly uphold righteousness. As Christians, we realize that God is the power behind all government, and He is the power behind all prayers. Our lives, the lives of our fellow countrymen, and the lives of our leaders are all in His hands. It is prayer time in America. If our hearts are pushing us to pray, then we will pray. But if our hearts are not pushing us to pray, then we should ask God to help us change our hearts to be what He wants us to be. Today is no different than when God told Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." The most patriotic thing we can do for our brethren and for our nation is to pray. There is a deeper reason than patriotism, though, to pray. A deeper reason to make sure that we are right with God. And that's because we all have a death to die. We all have a death to die. We all have a judgment to face. And soon, we will stand before Almighty God and answer for the choices we made, for the prayers we prayed, or the prayers we didn't pray. And so I encourage and admonish you this morning, pray. Pray every day. Pray for our nation. Pray for each other. Pray for the lost. Pray for our sick and shut in. Pray for this, the health of our nation and our world. Pray, brethren, pray. If you're not a Christian, you don't have the right to pray. Did you know that? Prayer is one of the spiritual blessings that we find only in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, and the greatest blessing we have is the blessing of prayer. And if you're not a Christian, you don't even have the right to pray. Did you know that? You don't. It's not yours. It's not your privilege. You don't have access to the grace of God. You don't have the forgiving blood of Jesus. You are still in your sins, and you can't pray to God for forgiveness of your sins. You can't even do that if you don't have access to prayer. So you've got to become a Christian if you want to be able to pray. You've got to obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus enough to repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized for remission of sins. Let the blood of Jesus wash your sins away. And you'll have the privilege to pray. The privilege to speak to your Father every day, whenever you want to. But you've got to become a Christian first. And if you're not faithful to the Lord, you need to ask God to forgive you. Oh, you have the access to prayer. You can pray. But you're going to have to repent. You're going to have to turn from sin and confess before God your sin. And you're going to have to pray if you want to be forgiven, if you want to be right with Him. So whatever your need this morning, if you're not ready to leave this world, if you're not ready to face God's judgment, if you're not ready to meet the Almighty, you need to get ready. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite and encourage you to come right now if you need to as we stand and sing.